Hey guys, and welcome back to the Books and Bones podcast, where we talk about books and their film adaptations. I'm your host, Jelena.
And I'm Jen.
And this month we are discussing Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad.
Kind of jumped off the deep end.
Yeah, so...
Oh wait, let me give you a... So when we decide...
Okay, I was going to do a disclaimer too.
Oh, okay, you go ahead.
So disclaimer, this is not an educational recording or like review of the book because...
We are not academics.
We're not scholars. This is just us reading the book and just giving you our general opinion of it.
Yeah.
Because this felt like English class.
Yeah.
It was more so we could watch Apocalypse Now.
Because I've never watched it. Yeah. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah.
So going into this, I guess it made sense. But actually reading it was probably the most challenging thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Not to say the book isn't good. It's just I haven't read a book like this in a very long time. So I was like... My dumb poo-poo brain was not prepared to, like, actually think about
it. Was just, like, stuff. Yeah, and, like, the language of it was really...
Yeah, I read somewhere that because Joseph Conrad's first two languages were Polish and French.
Yeah, I think so.
I think English is his third language.
Yeah, yeah.
People or biographers would comment on how... Like, how do I phrase this? It's kind of like how it would sound in, like, Polish or French, but, like, translated to English. So it was very, like, not broken English, but, like, kind of, like, unique. Just, he had an interesting way with words.
Yeah. One, okay, so I'll admit I had to go through SparkNotes to... Like, to understand what was going on.
And Thug Notes.
And Thug Notes.
I think Thug Notes actually helped me understand this
it book was the most. So, it just made so much more sense than what I was reading. Because even, like, with Spark Notes, they give you the academic, like, wording.
They go, too. Yeah, they go through a lot.
Themes, plot, characters, questions. They always have, like, the questions and stuff.
Yeah. Thug Notes is pretty straightforward. It's like, this is what it's about. This is what it means.
This is all you need to know.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll give you some information about Joseph Conrad. So he was born in December 1857, and he died in August 1924 at the age of 66.
He wasn't very old.
No. So, but he also had, like, physical and, like, mental issues.
Oh, okay.
I read that when he was... I think he was in his 20s. He attempted suicide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, he had some stuff. He is regarded as one of the greatest novelists to write in the English language. And most of his popular work took place in nautical settings that depict trials of human spirit in the midst of what he saw as an passive, inscrutable. Why does that sound weird? Anyways, but yeah, he didn't speak English fluently until his 20s. So some info about the book we covered. This was published as a serial in 1899 and then as a book in 1902. It's a short novel. It's like three parts or three chapters, whatever.
Yep.
And there's several adaptations. So the first bit for radio... this was adapted as a CBS radio broadcast in November 1938 as part of a series called The Mercury Theater on the Air for television. I had no idea about this. In 2019, there's a science fiction film, Ad Astra, with it's very loosely inspired by the events.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
events very loosely. It's not, like, an exact adaptation, but there's, like, little hints there from the novel.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, cool.
Have to give that a watch now.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. And then the Apocalypse Now. I've heard – okay, so Jelena's talked about it, like, raved about it since, like, what, your first year of university?
Yeah.
And it's, like, how many years now?
It's It's definitely a crazy film, but it's amazing.
What I've heard about it is that it's a more intense version of the book. Like, there's more violence, I guess. Is that the word? Like, it's... But I can't even... I don't even know because I've never seen it. So
yeah, that's what you'll see when you watch the movie.
I'm just hearing what others have told me. And there's also a film documenting the production titled Heart of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse. This showed some of the difficulties which the director Coppola?
Coppola
faced while he was making the film.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about.
There's a lot of stuff we can get into for the movie episode.
Oh, it's like set aside an hour, guys.
Listen to us while you work out.
Yeah.
Get hyped about this movie.
On the treadmill, like, going at 6 or something, running 6. Oh, yeah.
We were running like 5 miles.
And for video games, I thought this was really interesting. Far Cry 2, which was released in October 2008, is a loose modernized adaptation of Heart of Darkness. There's like a player, there's a role where you're a mercenary operating in Africa, and your task is to kill an arms dealer, the elusive jackal, quotations.
Mm-hmm.
And the last area of the game is called the Heart of Darkness.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Should give it a look.
I think you can get it for free with Xbox, with the Game Pass.
That'd be cool. I think Far Cry is first person, though.
Oh, I can't do that. It's never mind. And then for World of Warcraft, if there's any WoW fans out there, in the 7th expansion, Battle for Azeroth, there's a swampy zone named Nazmur. And it makes many references to both Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now. There's a subzone called Heart of Darkness and a quest of the same name that mentions a character named Captain Conrad, amongst others.
Wow.
So for a book that I've heard about, actually, that's a lie. I have not heard that, like, this was called Heart of Darkness. I didn't even know this was a book.
At all related to Apocalypse Now.
I didn't even know Apocalypse Now was, like, an adaptation. So I'm like...
I think... Well, we'll go more into this with the movie episode. Yeah. But the reason I knew about it was because after I watched the movie, like I said before, I like to read facts about the movie. Because yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's insane. I wonder how they made this. I wonder how they did that. So one of the... interesting facts is that Francis Ford Coppola tried to get Marlon Brando to read this book because he said that's what his movie was like loosely based on. Because I think I told you, but the objective in the movie is different. And we'll talk about it more next episode.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah. So, and like Marlon Brando would not read the book. And I was like, oh, it's based on a book? That's so cool. And then it took me like, yeah, however long, six, seven years to read the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a book it was.
So what are your impressions? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I can't even like form words to just like, it's not a bad book. Let's just say that. It's not an awful book. It really covers or like brings up topics of like imperialism and racism were like very big
like in the foreground.
To
be honest, for me, reading this book felt like I think I said this already at the beginning of the episode, but it felt like I was in like an English class. So for those who appreciate classic literature, I feel like this would be up your alley.
I agree,
but other than that, like, I would try to read it again to understand some parts that I didn't the first time around, because I went back and read a summary and I was like, wait, that's what happened at that part?
Yeah. Well, I went, okay, so I decided to listen to the book because my brain couldn't my eyes couldn't like tell my brain what was going on.
You're just reading words.
That's pretty much it. Because like the first, what, 17, 20 pages, I was like, what did I just read?
It's like, wait, who's talking? Who's telling the story?
Like,
because they're on a boat.
They're on a steamboat.
Marlo starts talking about this adventure he went on to go get Kurtz.
Yeah, so he's on Thames. Okay, I didn't even know how to pronounce that word. I had to Google that. I'm like, how do you say Thames? Yeah, that's what I was saying in my head. I'm like, what the heck? I know it's not how you pronounce it, but like, how do you pronounce it in, like, properly? Yeah, so like he's telling the story while they're anchored on the River Thames.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marlo describes the trip when he went, I wrote, when he went to fetch Kurtz, the successful ivory trader.
Yes.
And then they're en route up the Congo River aboard a steamboat.
Yes, that's essentially the plot of the book.
Yeah, and then the other, okay, so like when you're listening to it, or when I was listening to it, the points that really caught my attention were when they were being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found Kurtz.
Yeah.
And like the part where there's like heads on sticks there, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, that part, okay. For a second, I was like, did I read that right? Am I understanding that what's actually on these poles or stakes are heads?
Yeah.
And then it said, like, oh, like, yeah, it was a face. I was like, oh.
It's actually
okay. Because I thought it was, like, some metaphor or.
Yeah, because they always put, like, those big metaphors in books like this.
There's a deeper meaning to, like, certain lines. And I was like, okay, well, I just want to make sure that I actually understood that, right?
Oh, and then I don't know if this was how it was for you, but my audiobook, the narrator, he changed the voice of Kurtz. Like,
oh, really?
Whenever Kurtz was talking.
Oh, yeah.
It was like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck?
That's pretty cool.
It was actually, like, I like it when the narrator for audiobooks, like,
they have voices
for yeah.
characters. Yeah.
You know, it's easy to differentiate between.
I think it would sound weird or not as good if they were just talking in a normal voice because he was supposed to be so ill.
Yeah.
It's like he wouldn't say these things like, the horror, right? He wouldn't say it like that. Oh, okay. That's another thing I wanted to point out about this book is that a lot of words or lines were repeated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sick, Kurtz, the horror.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there's a bit of a pattern here.
Why?
And it's kind of interesting to pick up on that. I mean, regardless, if you didn't know the horror line, like, you would notice, like, okay, this author repeats a lot of words and lines. But if you know about that line prior to reading the book, like, you know it's coming somewhere.
I had no idea.
You did it?
I had no idea. I'm like, literally reading it with, like, fresh eyes, like, I lived under a rock.
Yeah, no, that's like a big thing in the movie, too.
Is it?
Well,
you'll see.
Well, I will see. Yeah, it's a pretty famous line.
Hmm. The horror. There's a couple of other lines that I really liked, and I apologize in advance, but
you're like, I interpreted this so wrong.
But for some reason, I really liked this line when he was Marlo said this. He's like, one ship is very much like another, and the sea is always the same.
Mm.
I don't know why.
What about it you liked? It was just, it sounded nice. It sounded cool.
Yeah, like, it could be easy. It could easily be, like, one of those lines where you, like, I'm trying to think of, like, modern day language. Like, yeah, every car is the same. every car is different.
Every road is the same.
Or it's, like, every road is the same, but the journey's different kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I can see that. Yeah.
That's kind of like what I interpreted that as. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I always do this. So it's such a gross habit, but it's like whenever they mention the title of a book in the book,
you have to write it down.
I wrote it down the first time I heard it. I probably missed it a few other times, but they're like, this is when they were going like really deep into the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
We penetrated deeper into the heart of darkness.
Yeah, he actually, he writes it a few times too. It's more than once I noticed. I think it was at least twice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said it a couple more times.
Yeah.
This was the one that...
I think that's the first time.
Yeah. Because this is before...
That's like, before they get there.
Yeah, right? That's way before they get there.
So this one line that I liked... So I did the same thing. I was like half listening to it, half reading it. I was listening to it as I was reading along.
At what speed?
Double the speed. So she was talking very fast. So this one line, I was like, hey Siri, like, mark this down for me. It was on page 9 of the edition I have, and it said, "The snake charmed me." And I liked that line because it's like, you know, usually it's the other way around where like humans are the dominant ones, they're charming the snake, but it's the other way around where like this jungle and this atmosphere charmed him.
Oh, are you talking about like the river?
I think so.
The snake is the river.
Yeah,
there is a line that I came across, and it said, like, this was when they first started going up the river, and it's mm-hmm. like resembling an immense snake uncoiled, with its head in the sea, its body at rest, curving afar over a vast country, and its tail lost in the depths of the land.
I think that might have been.
The
same, like, section. It was early on in the book. Right?
Yeah.
I think that was where it was.
The thing so while it was really difficult for me to understand, I really liked the language of the book.
Yeah.
Because you don't read books like that anymore.
Yeah.
It's very like.
Or we don't have to.
We don't have to. Thing, yeah. It's a lot. There's a lot of books that are a lot easier to like. Understand, it's but like
straightforward.
This
one that's like you have to think about, you have to visualize what's happening.
It's that was the part I had trouble with, because like I like to visualize what's going on, and like I think I mentioned it when I first started reading it, I would picture something,
mm-hmm.
and then like immediately, I think I missed a transition.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what?
where are we now? Why
are these people are attacking? Like, yeah. What?
It's like, oh, that's Kurtz? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just, I honestly think everyone should read this book because there's a lot more to it than what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we're kind of like the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot to uncover with this story, but I'm not confident in my ability to unpack it. There's a lot more resources out there if you are wanting to look deeper into it. Highly recommend Thug Notes. That's honestly what got me.
Yeah, or like that's a really good starting point, to be honest.
Yeah,
because if I did not read that or listen to it, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
The Spark Notes video too. They go more into detail about the plot.
Mm.
Oh, and they have pictures.
That reminds me, there is a graphic novel of this. So maybe if I can get, yeah,
no way,
yeah, there's a graphic novel. So if I can get my hands on that before we talk about the movie next week,
we can
do that too.
Do you know when this graphic novel was released?
When we announced the book, someone commented saying that they read the graphic novel.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, what? There's a graphic novel?
Because if it's after the movie, I wonder if they took inspiration from the movie too.
Here you go. It is, I guess I'll click on that. I actually tried to look for this the last time I was at Chapters, because
mm-hmm.
I was like, August 4th, 2020.
Oh.
So it literally came out last year.
Cool.
Last year.
Yeah, I wonder if they took inspiration from the movie a bit too then, in terms of imagery, or if they're like really true to the book.
Ooh, that would be nice to...
But you know what? Actually, no, that wouldn't make sense because they take place at different times.
Do they actually? Oh, well.
You'll see.
Again.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is what it's like if you've never watched the movie or read the book. Yeah, so like they have that if you're ever interested.
That's really cool.
Don't know if it's actually available like in stores, but for sure.
Yeah, online.
You can order it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the majority of articles I read for this tie into the movie, so I'm going to save those for
next episode.
Next episode.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably have more to say about that.
Yeah, the book was good. It was a good book. Again, if you are a lit fan, I think you'll enjoy this. This was more for us to understand like where the inspiration for the movie came from, and like that, at least that's my opinion, because I'm more of a fan of the movie. Controversial maybe, but ooh. I'm a what is it, a cinephile or whatever, is that what they call?
I don't know
like a film geek. You can take that out. I don't know if that's like a bad phrase for it.
You're like a film buff.
Yeah, I like...
You're like, I watch cinema.
I like to watch movies.
I have a Criterion subscription.
I like to analyze them. I have a minor in film studies.
But yeah, no. One of the things I did want to touch on a bit was from Thug Notes, where he was talking about how Kurtz kind of, in quotes... went savage.
Yeah.
Because he was no longer under the watchful eye of like the government and society. He could kind of do whatever he wanted without being judged for it, because these people thought he was like, they thought of him as a god.
Yeah.
So he was really like, I can do whatever I want here.
And he did.
And he essentially, he did.
Yeah.
And like the idea that maybe there's a part in us where, like, if we were in that situation, you know, would we go back to, like, the primitive?
Yeah, like, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's something that I read as well in an article. I honestly think so, because, like, Canada, if we went into the bush, we would... like, we would change mentally, physically.
Yeah, because there's people. There's no reason to be, like, proper or...
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, like, I feel like there would still kind of be a sense of... You know, like, it would still be kind of organized. Like, I don't think it would go away that fast, especially in today's world.
Yeah, no.
There would be some sort of, like, order still.
Yeah. But then eventually... depending on, like, how long you're out there, yeah, you would probably go mad.
Because, like, a lot of this stuff, like materialistic things, it wouldn't matter anymore.
No. That kind of I know this is, like, the book series is unrelated, but that kind of reminds me of, I read this book series, well, I haven't finished it, but the first couple of books, they're in, like, Yukon in a very, it's at fly-in town.
Yeah.
And they're literally separated from society. Like, there's no way society can find them.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if they even have, like, internet there.
Oh, really?
Or, yeah, like I think there's, like, radios to contact, like, an airport or whatever.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, getting internet up there, I don't think it exists. I think it's just all, like, paper and, like, books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I think you'd have to... fly into the next town or whatever to be able to use, like, or to get internet access. So up there, you're literally in the bush. And if I'm not mistaken, because it's been a while since I read this series or the book, there was a couple of people who actually went mad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, like, they thought it was, like, cannibalism at the time. But it was just someone who was, like, who just, like, went crazy and was, like, yeah.
Really?
But that's what kind of reminds me of, like, if you're up somewhere where you have no communication other than a radio.
I mean, that's essentially kind of what happened to Kurtz too. Like,
this would be like a more today's, I guess.
Yeah.
Compared to his, because with his, it's like you're traveling by like steamboat and like it's the 1800s.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching. But
food for thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was such an interesting point to touch on. It's like, cause more to go more into detail about what he said in the video, is that society, like, even the people who are in power and all that, like, there's still a bit of that in them. And the only reason that they're not, like, lashing out or doing whatever they want is because they're under the watchful eye of society.
That's actually, like, wow.
And, like, that kind of ties into, like, the whole imperialism aspect of it.
I don't know. It's a tough book to talk
it's
about.
It's a tough book to read because it drags on. It's not a long book. It's under 100 pages.
It just reminded me of, like, how when I read The Hobbit, which is a children's book.
Oh, man.
It took me a year.
A year?
Well, maybe a year. I don't know. But it took me a really long time to actually, like, go from start to finish. For some reason, I just couldn't, like, my brain wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, going through this book, I'm recovering from a book slump.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh.
Some books are hard to get into, and this one was hard to get into.
Like, you really want to get into it, because you're like, oh, yeah, we're gonna talk about it, we're gonna watch the movie, but then once you get started, it's like...
You know what's interesting about this book, too, because they make such a big deal about Kurtz in the story. They're like, oh, he's a genius, he's this kind of guy. He's... Honestly,
they, like, put him on a pedestal,
but he's also the most interesting part of the book.
Yeah.
Like, once you start hearing about Kurtz, you're like, oh, and then you meet him and you're like, oh, like, this is, okay, now it's taken a turn. Now it's gotten interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like he went crazy.
Even on paper, even when you're reading about it, like, Kurtz is still the most interesting person.
Especially at the end when, like, Marlo went to go see
his intended.
And, like, she wanted to know what his last words were. And, like, Marlo was like, I can't put her through this. Like, it's awful.
Yeah.
So he just told her what
she probably wanted to hear.
Yeah. That it was just her name that he called out last. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would highly recommend, like, if you are educated on this kind of, like, history, this kind of subject, I would highly recommend checking it out just to form your own opinion on it.
Yeah. Or if you really enjoy history, because this is, like, a perfect.
It's a good, like, you know, like a stepping stone.
Yeah. Because you can go in different directions.
Yeah.
But it all kind of, yeah. I didn't hate the book. It's just, it was hard to get into. So I'll leave it at that.
Same here.
But yeah, so next week we are going to be talking about Apocalypse Now.
Finally,
get ready for that.
It's a long movie, man. It's long.
Literally dedicating an entire weekend to that. We should have, like, a movie night, like, a actual, like, with popcorn, with, like, pizza, and, like,
dim the lights.
Dim the lights.
Set the mood.
Light some candles.
This movie's gonna punch you in the face.
So you're like, yeah, you thought.
You're like, oh, what a relaxing night. Then you're gonna leave like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
Yeah. What the heck?
All right. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Books and Bones Podcast. If you like this episode, please leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. New episodes available every other week. We'll see you next week for your movie episode.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.